welcome to Ray of Dex. I am your hostess, the Dick Finder General.
Yes!
Lucy Buttons, sometimes a showgirl, usually a smartass. And I am here with my co-producer, John Al.
Hello!
Hey. Airhorn. So, well, I want to get into the normal stuff, but we were just having a little bit of a conversation talking about our social media and selfies.
Selfies.
So why don't you say what you're thinking?
So my thinking, I've been crafting this idea in my brain on how to objectively measure one's niceness online. And so far, I've come up with the ratio between your selfies and the number of photos of other people on your wall.
Which I feel personally attacked by because I post a lot of selfies.
No, you don't.
And articles, but I don't post, like, I don't really post a lot of pictures. Like, because if we go out, I'm not out as Lucy Buttons most of the time.
Exactly. You're actually blocking us to post our photos because you're not in Lucy form.
Yeah, because to me, it is separate and I like to have a personal life. And I do the social media. When I'm posting a selfie, it's to promote Lucy Buttons and the show that I'm doing and that type of thing, or maybe Parade of Dicks. It's not just to make my life look like fabulous and fun or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's fucking not. No. And I don't want that on social media either.
But your selfies are group ones. Like, I love
it. Not always,
but I see the ones that I like are the ones, you know, backstage with all the people that you're performing with or the show that you produce. I don't think that's a selfie. It's a selfie mode.
I call it groupie.
Yeah, groupie. Yeah. I mean, I like that. But, you know, there are pages out there that it's just them. Like, hi, I'm getting ice cream. Their face. Not even the ice cream. This is the most amazing coffee that I've drank.
I mean, if they're very well dressed, I do like it. Like, there's a few people.
Take a picture of the damn coffee. Vintage, I'm actually one of those people.
I know. But see, just your lonely cup of coffee, that makes me sad. Take a picture when there's two cups.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Or, but, like, toasting with some stranger.
Yeah. No, those are fun. And I see those on your thing, and I like them, too. But, you know, I have a lot of vintage friends, and they go out for ice cream, but they're all done up. And I like seeing their outfit and the ice cream and, you know, whatever. Yeah. And obviously, I have a lot of beautiful performer friends, too, that pictures. I mean, I don't know. I do like a well-crafted photo more than I like a selfie.
Yes. My thing is, I love people who can take photos of themselves. That's always a plus.
It's a skill.
But the skill that I admire is not them. It's not the technical skill of capturing the photo, but it's asking a friend or asking a stranger. It's like, hey, would you mind? Because I struggle with that.
Oh.
So I like the fact that people are nice enough to have somebody take a photo of them, and that's considered not a selfie.
Sure. It's
a
semantics. That's hard to do backstage. Mm-hmm. But I do know your point, which is like, that can't be your only thing.
Exactly.
It does show a little bit of narcissism, and I don't just want to see a page that's just selfies of themselves. Like, I do, I mean, I obviously post a lot of opinions. I'm known for my opinions, but I also post articles and things that I think are interesting and relevant to who I am as a real human being and to also what I'm about as a performer, because it's not just, you know, showgirl stuff.
And that is important because, and like we talked about a few episodes back, posts, articles that you send, photos that you post online of yourself or of your friends does not encapsulate the entirety of your being.
Yes.
So, Ali, but a consistent.
What did you just say? Ali, but?
No, but I was gonna say, albeit, but I'm gonna say, a constant stream of a nice theme that you share consistently with your friends in your circle, you know, gives a little bit of an insight of how you think, which is, I think, much more important than how you look or how you present yourself.
Absolutely. So, and if people are having a fun day, like when I went to the City Museum in St. Louis, I posted a ton of pictures of that and whatever, but there's like things all over it to see and to do. And then I will see tons of selfies and tons of pictures of them, and it's fun. And I look through people's vacations for things like that. But if it's just your regular day and your regular day is boring as fuck, and I know yours is. I know your regular day is boring as fuck, John L. But like,
what, Excel sheets is not fun for you?
I actually do like a good Excel spreadsheet. But like, Then I think that, you know, it's, you don't need more than one picture. Even going to a show, I might have like one before, one of each costume or whatever. If I'm really clever, sometimes at Guadalupe, the old setup, I used to have, you know, those good like multiple mirrors and being curvy, whatever. But for the most part, I try to just post like one or the group shots or whatever, because it's just like, how many times do you need to see that?
I'm not mad about the selfie. Especially, I mean, selfies are great because especially if you have a gorgeous face, hey, I'd stare at it. But it becomes disconcerting when you're talking about a certain topic and it's just your face. I've had to unfollow a few people because it was like going to the DMV and it's their face with their glasses and their headphones. Okay,
always
fine.
The same glasses, always the same expression, always the same fucking shirt.
Eating an
whatever.
Amazing dinner with friends and it's just their face. Where are your friends?
No, that I agree.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. So,
oh my God. So I went to my favorite taco place. You know, the one that I've taken you to in Bay Ridge?
Hobra.
Hobra. Mm-hmm. I love that taco place, but it's a bit of a trek to get to. And the last time I was there, some guy climbed up on his chair, had his friend light his food while he then used his camera, or maybe he used his other hand. It was a two-handed operation to take a picture of his fucking tacos. Like, that's what's wrong with the world. Your tacos are getting cold. Put the tacos in general. Put the taco in your mouth.
more than just hashtag, a euphemism.
Hashtag put the taco in your mouth.
Literally and metaphorically. But I'm kind of torn about that because I, too, am guilty of taking photos. But do this.
You're a photographer.
No, but do the stealth, take a photo of your food kind of thing. And like, and when we go out, you, me, Allegra, or whoever we're going out with, what we do is like, once the food comes, take a quick photo and then junk your phone. That's it. I mean, do it.
Anytime you're with your friends, like, it's okay. They go to the bathroom, you check your shit. But honestly, like, be present.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like I said, I like to document whenever I go out with my friends too, because like, I like memories with my friends. I'll take a quick photo, but I don't need 15 photos all throughout the day. And the first photo, as soon as you start, is good enough, because that's the best looking photo that you can get before you get smashed through drinks or get food coma with as much food that we eat when we go out.
It is funny to document the shit faceness though. But the other thing is that your brain actually blocks it out when you take a picture of something. Because it or it filters it out, not blocks it out, but like it's not important information anymore because it's been saved in the photo. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
but I meant even like texting and Facebooking while you're with your friends. Like, don't do it. Same on a date. That can be our dick disqualifier. If they fuck it, and that's for real.
Ooh, okay.
If they do that on a first date, check their phone, unless they're like on call. There are certain circumstances, maybe they're a doctor or they're having a family emergency and they say, sorry, this is going on, just so you know, I might have to check my phone. Fine. Otherwise, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And I will tell them. I'm like, I'm sorry, do you have someplace better you need to be?
What's an hour, right? Nothing's going to burn down. And even as busy as I know to not check my phone whenever I'm on a date, if ever I do get on a date. But remember, so
you have one of those stupid watches too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I dated a guy once that had one of those and he was like looking at his texts or emails or whatever on his thing, just like glancing because it lights up. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate those things. No. Put your phone away. Put your watch away. Be present. And if I'm not that interesting to you, then let's both just do each other a favor and move the fuck on.
Funny story. Lucy and I was out having dinner. We're out. We were out last week having dinner at the pretty cool Park Slope Mediterranean place.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we have this thing where I love putting stories to how, you know, or like picking out who's on a date, what kind of date it is. Is it a first online date?
Is it the couple behind us.
The couple behind us. Homeboy was out for half the dinner.
He was out where?
Getting a call. So the girl, pretty attractive Greek girl, but you know, bleach blonde hair with some green in it, pretty cute, nice rack, amazing. She couldn't stop.
She was behind me, so like I hardly even noticed.
She was looking over so much. I think she was looking over because we had a giant ass sewing machine on our table, but also maybe because she was admiring my long locks before it got cut.
I didn't see them because they were behind me, and I do try to be present, especially for dinners with friends. That's actually one of my favorite things to do, is to just have like a dinner with someone and catch up because we hadn't seen each other in a little bit. So I didn't ever like swivel and see what they looked like, but I could see her peripherally, and I am sensitive to energies or whatever. Yeah. So I also think that sometimes people are
you witch.
Whatever. I think sometimes people are confused by us, especially if it's just the two of us. Mm. Because we were at a dinner and we were, you know, we did have the sewing machine, which made no sense. We were sitting there talking about dating other people, though, but it might have looked date-like. And we're an odd match. I know you like tall redheads, but like...
Yeah. ParadeOfDicks@gmail.com.
I think it was just probably confusing, too. And then whoever she was with to her, whoever that is to mm-hmm. her, wasn't paying so much attention. So then you kind of do. You people watch and you eavesdrop a little bit. And
I was looking, she was looking hard, and I kind of felt sorry because we had a long dinner.
Yeah.
And they were there before us.
Really long. And I fucked up because I didn't check my phone.
I could have gotten late, but you were late finishing your dinner. Mm-hmm. But it was a long dinner, and they were there before us. They left a little earlier than us, and she was alone most of the time. Made me feel sorry about it, and that's why, you know, this is part of just communication in general. Try to hide your phone. I know you. If you're a person that loves selfies, do it stealthily. Do it quick. But
people step out of what they're doing with other people to take a selfie.
Yeah.
Which I think is weird. Like, I do know some of my friends maybe don't want to be on like my Lucy Buttons page, which I understand. So if I'm dressed up and I'm going to take a picture like that, maybe I would take one on my own to post on that stuff. And maybe I would take one just for the two of us to have. But I don't know. I just see, it's like the smoking thing. People leave the party to go have a cigarette. And I just being present is so important.
Yeah.
Those are the good moments in life.
Which is kind of funny, though. I want to touch on that, you know, the being present part. There is this kind of notion that those loner, outcast, kind of lone wolf kind of people, they do get this certain aura that people gravitate towards, too. The guy that is always at that corner, just so okay being by himself, kind of tends to get a little bit more of a side eye than people that are hosting and more exuberant, because you know sometimes
side eye. What do you mean side
like,
eye?
I mean like looking at them stickily better than
you think people are attracted to them.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, as a female, when I see a guy alone in the corner, like at a show, I think normally they get looked at as a creeper.
No, but it's in a show, but in a normal bar, or in a normal
bar, because. And that's actually universal. Men tend not to go up to women who are in with a group.
Group. Mm-hmm.
They like the woman that's by themselves and vice versa. I think that's because people are shy and don't want to be turned down. Okay. And I don't know that it's necessarily that people gravitate towards them. I think sometimes if we're talking about social media, the women that seem like that might seem more alluring. Hmm. But the reality is, regardless of who and what they are as an actual human being, it's kind of hard to deal with that once you get in a relationship for most men.
Yeah.
Most men can't really deal with the reality, even just of dating a burlesque performer, even if you're just local and you're not really all about it, it's just a hobby or whatever. Most men have a hard time dealing with that. That's been my experience.
Yeah. I mean, but again, a person's profession, when you start dating, which is a good segue because yesterday I was hanging out with another one of our friends. And, you know, she hangs out with a group of professional dancers. So, I mean, they were talking a lot about their relationships. But I always assume that when you're dating somebody, you take that into consideration before you dive deeper into a relationship.
You do. But it's deeper once you love that person mm-hmm. because you get protective and there's jealousy. You know, dancers have to touch all different parts of each other's bodies. Mm-hmm. It's very intimate. And there's a thing that's kind of like falling in dance love.
Yeah.
You know, I was a professional ballroom dancer and... Once in a night, I hope to have that one perfect dance where you're just like, you're really in the moment. You're really physically connected to one another, similarly to how you might be if you have sex with someone that's just really amazing, because it's nonverbal communication, mostly. hopefully, with your bodies. And it's just, there's something that's kind of magical about it sometimes. And that's always sort of what you're chasing when you're dancing, is to be, sometimes they'll call it in the pocket or whatever, where you're just on and it's just perfect. Same even when I'm dancing by myself in a performance. And that's always what you're looking for. But as the outside partner who maybe doesn't dance, that feels a little threatening. And when your partner is on stage naked, I mean, for a lot of people, the way that they were raised, those are private parts that should only be seen by your significant other. And now in today's day, we many significant others and we have looser sex sort of than past generations would cop to. It's not that they didn't. They
it's just like a little hidden.
It was secret. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so the idea of being out, and that's why it is an act of rebellion for women to do that too, because it's like, it's our bodies, it's our choice. But
I'm just baffled by the fact that there's a lot of people out there that still think that if a dancer or a bartender or a server is a little bit nice to you, that you have a chance. Like, I still, when I'm out with my boys, and then sometimes, you know, they were like, you know, I think the bartender likes me because she this. Like, dude, their job is to lube you up so that you're a little bit more loose with your tip. That's their main goal. It's sometimes harder if said male or female is on a stage with a pole with nothing on, grinding up and down on you. But still, the fact remains, they're working.
Right.
It is not disrespectful to give them money. It's actually very respectful to give them compensation for the art form that they're doing. Mm-hmm. But do not fucking fall in love. Do not think that you have a damn chance with regards to, oh, she bumped her bottom in my nose 6 times instead of the consummary 3. So I think I have a chance. Like, no, come on. I mean, it's funny just hearing a bunch of people yesterday that were talking about, you have to be nicer. You have to do this because, it's risky because you get a little bit more attention. But, you know, in order to be really, really good at your profession, you have to be able to spellbound these people to think that you have a chance. To think that
burlesque can be, it isn't always, but can be a seduction. Mm-hmm. But I think it's hard for a significant other to listen to the comments that happen in the audience and to watch those interactions, because there is some of that. And that is part of the job. Some people reject that part of the job, and that's totally fine too. But if you're trying to build an audience base, it is something you have to take into consideration in your social media, in your interactions at shows and things like that. And speaking of the sewing machine and of compensating people, I mean, sometimes we do get gifts from fans. Yeah. I look at it as a thank you for the stuff I do post online or my performances or whatever. Fans do that. They're able to. I really appreciate it. It helps me out. Burlesque is fucking expensive.
Yeah.
But I recently was having a conversation that it basically makes it sex work, which I don't really have an issue with sex work in general. I think everyone has a different relationship with where that line is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I understand multiple views. I think maybe 11 years ago when I started doing burlesque, I might have felt the same way. But now I've sort of changed, and it's like, I put out a lot of content online. We do this show. It's still free. We've decided to still keep it free for now. And so I think that people do deserve compensation for that art. Being an artist, especially in America, like artists in America get no credit. They get no support. It's not valued in our society, but art's actually really important for the advancement of society.
Yep. I mean, you find creative ways in solving a lot of problems, be it technical or creative or artistic. So that's just, you know, part of how people grow as a human being. Science is one way, art is another. The more complicated art, the more innovative it is, it's the more signifier how technologically advanced a person is. You know, smarts is not just one or the other, it's both.
Yeah. And a lot of shows are free now. So to tip isn't, I mean, even though they're free, someone is paying for it usually. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the producer of the show. Yeah. Sometimes people donate, but not too frequently, especially here in New York. And the thing is, you know, that's a risk everyone's taking, that the bar is taking or the sponsor or whatever. But it really, if we want art to keep happening, especially something like that that's lowbrow, that's really undervalued, then, you know, you have to, because people have to pay their bills. Some people are professional burlesque performers here in New York City, where rent is exorbitant.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this millions of times where I can never be freelance.
It's so stressful.
It's the
I've been freelancing for 2 months. It's so fucking stressful.
I can't do, I mean, I used to be a full-time professional photographer for all about 2 years. And I told the story numerous times too. The first year that I was a photographer in New York, I made more money than I was my first year in my first office job. But I would take that office job because, you know, shooting for me.
You're making me feel bad about not making the decision about my job.
No, but for me, it's like, it was tough because like I just didn't know when my next paycheck was going to come. I'll shoot a wedding. I'll be freaking rich for 2 months. And then I wouldn't have a client for 1 month.
Plus, you only eat meat, so you can't be poor.
What's
we should talk about the impact of that on the environment too one day.
Oh,
I'm
going to
give you some documentaries to watch.
I watch Food Inc. I watch all those stuff, but
you don't care?
I do care.
Want a bunch of babies too. Those are bad for the environment too, Jonelle.
Wait.
How dare you?
I just want one baby.
Okay.
Little LeBron Clemente.
Gross.
Kanye Clemente.
Ugh.
LeBron Kanye Clemente.
No,
how about
why
that?
Are you choosing horrible people?
I'm just joking.
But you're choosing like the worst people.
It's a joke.
Ugh.
People, it's a joke. I really do.
Jokes are supposed to be funny.
Theodore is a good name for a kid. I think that's a
Theodore.
Theodore.
Theodora, if it's a girl.
For a girl, I know you hate my girl name.
What's your girl name?
I wanted a Skylar, but it's. I think it's like a Connecticut white girl, blonde girl name.
I think it's played out now. Yeah, that was a few years ago.
I just like the.
That was a good plan when you were trying.
Yeah, I wanted like a Sky. I mean, Sky is a good nickname, but you can't just give a person a nickname as a name. You have to give him a choice. Like that's why I like Theodore, because he can be T, you can be Ted, you can be Teddy.
Theo.
You know? Theo. So you can, you. I mean, they have room.
Odor.
15, 20 years from now, that'll be a throwback nickname. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
All right, so what I wanted to talk to you, so I didn't tell you what subject we were going to talk about again.
You never do.
Sometimes we do.
Oh, sometimes we plan. All right. Fine.
And even when I do, then you fuck it up. So we got to shake things up. One of our best episodes, you completely fucked it up. I still need to listen to that one, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about betrayal.
Ooh.
So speaking of when you were trying with your wife.
Yes.
You told me you cheated on your wife.
Yes.
Had she cheated on you before that?
No.
Okay. So... set it up so people really understand, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about it.
All right. I'm really open with the stuff that happened to me. I'm going to not be too specific because I know certain people will not appreciate the level of detail that I can
just
give.
Just say it.
Yeah. But met a beautiful person. I love dearly. I built my world around her and stuff like that. But again, like any other relationship, there are certain things that might creep into said relationship towards the end of that track. But long story short, without even getting any details, we were planning to have we've been planning to have a baby for a long time.
And I've trying.
Been trying. We haven't really gone off the birth control yet, but we set a year.
I thought you were like actually going to fertility clinics.
No, we started with, we went to 3 gynecologists, picked the best one. She was on prenatal vitamins and we were on track. So that first year, so it was like a 2-year process.
Still on birth control?
Yeah. Why? We were weaning off because she was using it for skin stuff as well.
Okay.
So it was almost there. So we had all the vitamins. We had a plan, a 2-year plan. We even moved to this neighborhood because of that particular thing. School is good. The hospital is literally 2 avenues away, which is kind of be perfect. Park is right there. Rent is semi-cheap. Maybe not this particular apartment because we were looking at the paint and we're kind of sure lead paint will be somewhere down the layer. So we've thought about everything.
That's very detailed.
It was planned. I was working extremely, extremely hard to be able to be at a place in my current workplace where I will never get fired. And I did. So I knew I was going to have at least this amount of money. And I just needed X amount more so that we can afford the certain lifestyle that we wanted with a kid.
Sure.
So everything was planned up until, you know, people change, people grow. And what I mentioned before was we could handle struggles together really well. We didn't really handle success together. I got promoted, got much more money. I thought I was entitled to a lot of things, made me become a super dick to certain people that we actually know. She got promoted as well. Not as high as I wanted her to be get promoted. She actually turned down a management position because she didn't want to work that hard, you know, but that's good. She knows her limits. And she was able to go to all the classes that she wanted to do that she wasn't.
Okay, so what happened?
When it was getting to the point where, oh, we're going to have a kid in, you know, a year and a half or 2 years, or we're going to start trying to have a kid in a year and a half, 2 years, I need to get everything out of my system. So, because I grew up in a very conservative country.
You started feeling that way.
I started feeling that way.
I thought that she put the kibosh on the kid and that's what started it.
So that was part of it too. So we were both enjoying our resources a little bit too much.
Okay.
So I was like, shit, I need, you know, I had a little bit more money. I could pick the projects that I wanted to do while still work, and she was out most of the time doing her exercises. Had ladies
she saw an opportunity.
Out. Yep. And then both of us kind of like, oh, this apartment that we moved into was not perfect for a kid anymore. Suddenly, you know, I wasn't helping too much in the apartment, the apartment upkeep. I'm not as responsible as I need to be a dad anymore. So everything just kind of got pushed.
Isn't that more money, more problems? That's how it works.
Yep. And I, you know, I started becoming feel more privileged than I should have. I dicked around, fooled around a lot.
Dicked around. So that's what I want to know.
Yeah. And I did. And you know, it was partly because like 1 minute we were having a kid, the next minute we weren't. I wasn't part of the decision. It's like, we're just not going to have it right now.
And that was before or after you dicked around?
Concurrent. I think the impetus for me was when we actually had an argument and she said, you know, this, you know, we're not going to have a kid yet. Cause you know, I realized, and she's back on, we were weaning her off a lot of birth control and then she went back on and it was good for me.
Did she tell you that?
She didn't tell me until like weeks later. It's like, I'm back on it. It's like, so that was kind of the realization where, so everything that I worked hard for up to this point was a good discussion, but in the end, it's just going to be your decision, which is I'm totally fine with. I just want a little bit more of a heads up. But at that time,
I don't think that's great communication in a couple, though. But you had already been cheating.
I had been, yeah.
Okay, so how did that come about? Once you felt privileged to do so, how did you make that happen? Because right now, you can hardly get a date.
Yeah.
shifted? You felt better about yourself then?
I felt less of what people thought about me. So
you cared less.
I cared less.
Okay.
I mean,
and then that makes sense because you were secure and you'd worked hard for these things and got.
Yeah, and I think having somebody to go back home to was a fallback was kind of like the reason. Like, hey, all right, I had this shoot during that time. I still had a rule not to, you know, fool around with your client, but your client has friends.
That's a good rule. Yep. You should stick to that rule. Yep.
But they have friends. And that was kind of like the first instance of.
So it was a friend of a client.
Yeah. Friends like, hey, it's like, it was, you know, great shooting with you. I was always, I was way, way more lewd and, you know, admittedly disrespectful in a professional way, like in an art, I'm an artist kind of way before. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like led to like, their friends will hang out and they will hang out.
So you asked them on a date?
No, I never went out on a date when I cheated.
You just fucked them after a shoot.
Yeah, not the actual client, but you know, most of them are like the friends of who wanted to.
Most of them, multiple people you cheated on or with.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Multiple times with the same person?
Yeah, I never do one nights. So, yeah, and it was always more of like a transactional kind of thing. Not necessarily that it was something was exchanged. It was more like, hey, you know,
it was a booty call.
It was kind of a booty call, and it was still in that realm.
And they knew you were married.
There were some of them knew I was married.
Oh, not
some of them didn't care. So
didn't ask. Care.
They just said, you know, it was more like, hey, most of them was how to work on sexual stuff. A lot of them were had their boyfriends too, and they would be like, they're having a hard time. Some of them, or like, this sounds like it was a lot of people, but you know, one or two of them were, when we started talking and we started making sure that, hey, we're going to hook up. You know, that was kind of like the real setup. And I don't do one-nighters because I want to be, to make sure that, you know, they have something at stake too. Like, you know, it's not just like they're just going to jump into somebody's place and then pop out, disappear. I don't know where they came from. So it was kind of good that they had some, a little bit of a reference, but most of them were like, we were both working on some stuff. I was trying to see the limits of what I wanted or didn't want.
Yikes.
So is them. So yeah, it got out of hand. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of addictions then, or still don't. I mean, I don't consider my beer stuff like an addiction, but it should be. But back then, I didn't drink a lot, never smoked.
Did your wife find out, or did you tell her?
She found out.
How'd she find out?
Rather not say. Okay. One day I'll probably share the story, but it wasn't a good thing. How it came about.
I feel like it was an STD.
No. Come on. You know me better than that.
Where did this herpes come from?
No, if that happened, you know, you wouldn't be friends with me if that was the case. But it
certainly
was,
couldn't share microphones.
A phone was involved, the okay. usual. Okay. So the usual looking through the phone kind of thing happened.
Yeah.
But you know, that wasn't the
straw. That's a multiple level of betrayal.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you did what most people would call the biggest betrayal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't emotional.
No, it wasn't. I mean, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. No, but I'm just saying for the discussion of betrayal.
Yeah.
She betrayed you by going back on the birth control without talking to you, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of like an emotional, it's manipulative. It's got multiple layers to that because that's betraying your future together. And then going through someone's phone, which I never think is a good idea. It's not that I've never done it. I have. But usually by the time you're going through someone's phone, you already know what's
exactly.
There.
So that was, I mean, again, most of the time I tell people it was my bad. It was that relationship I screwed up. You know, I also put back that I learned so much from it.
Yeah.
That's why I doubled back on everything. If a certain person is even dating somebody, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be in that.
You should be.
Yeah. So I was like, I've been on both sides of that equation. It never turns out well. Yeah, a lot of people just a lot of people, when they hear somebody cheat, that's about it. And
that someone has cheated.
Yeah,
in the
that's
past.
And then you're going to cheat in the future.
Oh my God, you must be so terrified talking about it then on this.
Well, in the end, I think the people that matter knows who I am, who I really am the past 3-4 years that I've learned from all of my mistakes. And I think that it's much better if somebody is hung up with the fact that, you know, I was married, we're divorced, I cheated, it's pretty bad. If they're hung up on that particular, they're missing out on a lot of stuff.
Hmm. So I've never cheated on someone.
Okay.
The closest that I got to, for all of my dick mission posts and everything, I actually have like a pretty strong moral line, which I think people would be surprised by. But years ago, I did have a relationship for a very, very long time. And I started thinking about it, not thinking about cheating at all, ever, but just sort of being pulled away by, you know, someone I was surrounded by, and I was drinking super heavily. And so I kind of just like broke up with someone where the relationship had deteriorated anyway, because that's what happens. But I broke up with them and then immediately started seeing someone else. And that my relationship with the long-term person was on and off. But so I'm not proud of that, but I didn't cheat. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a small caveat, but it's not in some way.
Technically,
ways.
You didn't. You broke up and then you hooked up with somebody else.
And it was a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's always a mistake. You always think the grass is greener and it's always a mistake. But I have been cheated on, which we talked about a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I did discover it through like, he went on a trip with her and borrowed my luggage, and like the tag that you put on the luggage was all of her information.
That's just stupid.
And there was a magazine with her, that was her subscription that he brought home, and a theater ticket that didn't make sense. And then I really started looking. Then I looked through fucking everything, and eventually I found everything. I found pictures of them together with his kid and like all this stuff. So I've been on a lot of different sides of betrayal. There's plenty of emotional betrayal, I think, that happens. But that's a fine line too, because people have friends, and you know, I don't know when it becomes a hard line, but you know, you can be betrayed by other people too. And so that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it. I mean, I think I know people that have been betrayed by their families.
Yeah. By work?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
oh my
work.
God.
I mean, that's the thing. Betrayal or cheating in terms of relationships is the default kind of juicy thing that you need to talk about. But we go through so many
smaller
betrayals that might not be directly related to why you did certain things that you did, but it, you know.
Well, and that's kind of why it's on my mind, because I have felt that in my past work situation. I felt that was sort of a betrayal when it came to a close, and with friends from time to time I feel that way, and so I just want to talk about it.
Yeah, and the thing with betrayal too, it's not. It's post fact. You won't say that I'm going to betray you right now.
Right.
It's the end goal, and it'll always be through the lens of the person that has been betrayed. Like,
yeah, people don't mean to.
Yeah. And
you didn't mean to hurt your wife.
No, I mean, and if there's like one salvageable thing about it is, you know, during the course of our separation and then our subsequent divorce, you know, towards the end we were kind of clear, because she didn't believe all this when she found out. She had an inkling already and whatnot, but when she found out, took a while, but the idea was she knew that it was never, you know, she knew that I would have never left her for anything, because I literally built my wall around and my world around her. Everything that I did was for her, her friends, which is, you know, that's a bit drill on my part, because I built relationships with her friends and I loved them dearly and I kept one.
Well, I mean, I think she was abusive too. When you tell me stories, I don't think that's like a normal level of compromise for someone, but you know, everyone's different. You're much more easygoing than I am too.
I mean, that's the thing that maybe those added up. That's why I had to have an outlet somewhere. But in the end, the one thing that I really wanted, that I was the one happy thing that I took away from all the negative stuff that happened to us, was that she knew by the time that we got divorced, she truly believed that, you know, it was literally just a release valve. I just wanted to just release something, do things that I thought I would never do.
Most men, that's how their dicks are. It's just a release valve.
And now, but at least.
Did she cheat on you too, though?
No.
Have you been cheated on?
Yes. Yes, I have been cheated on by by two girlfriends.
Okay. How'd you find out?
They broke up with me and then
told you?
No, they broke up with me, and then I found out through the new boy's friends, because you know this was in the Philippines, where everybody knows everyone. So yeah, I mean they'll tell me like, oh, they've been going out from this date.
Gotcha.
So I kind of knew. So the reason why. So that's why. That's probably, you know, one of the more traumatic things that happened to me. Happened to me twice too.
Usually, people that are cheated on though don't tend to cheat on someone else. Like for me, it's not. I had one of those people that it was like we were on a break, and he would always go and fuck other people, and we were on a break, and it was really it was a betrayal on a lot of levels. Even though I could rationalize his point of us being on a break, and we were able to eventually work through it, but it was still painful, and it took a lot of work in order to do that.
Yeah.
And now, like I dated, like you were saying, well, if someone gets hung up on that, I went on a couple of dates with someone Well, I don't know. I had a lot of interaction with someone, if you recall, months and months and months ago, who said he had cheated on someone and really hurt them and was sorry and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, okay, well, I appreciate you telling me this and, you know, the honesty, whatever, and then was ready to proceed. But the reality was he was currently cheating on someone.
No,
and
so
then ended up texting me, you remember?
Yep. And that's what I was saying, that it's you know, even if even if you've turned a new leaf, the other parties might still be scorned. So it might still affect your...
I think they were still together. I mean, thank God I never slept with that guy. Yeah. But like, I think they were still together. And thank God all of that worked out the way that it did. Because I don't want to be wrapped up in anyone's mess. But when she texted me, I was also like, why don't you fuck off and let me do whatever? Because I thought I understood the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, and she wouldn't give me clarity either. And that's just like a whole mess of people you don't want.
Although I mean...
That's the other thing. You're bringing all that drama into your life. I just want like no drama.
Well, that's the good thing. Sometimes, you know, you make mistakes. They might be giant, but it might be in your past.
Yeah.
Hopefully you learn from it. Hopefully not. But like... speaking of this particular situation and then relating it to our HIV episode with immodesty,
yeah,
a heads up would have been nice from the ex-wife.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
You know, so sometimes I do appreciate it. If for example, I finally find somebody that I will be dating or, you know, will be marrying in the near future, and if my ex-wife or my ex-wife's friends started messaging that person saying, hey, did you know what happened?
Yeah.
One, she should know. I mean, I should be the one telling her, hey, I did this to my ex.
Right.
It's done. I learned it from it. Yeah. So
if you're really going to like get married and have a real relationship, or you don't have to necessarily get married, but have a real relationship, you do have to be honest.
Exactly.
About those
but I mean, I would not be mad at that person. I would not be mad at my ex or my ex's friends if they heart was like, yo, he did
this.
It's fair.
It's factual.
It's facts, but it's a heads up. It's also a test to make sure that if I'm in line, if somebody is not, if like my partner suddenly decides like, you know what, I don't think you've changed, then I have not improved enough to convince or to tell them.
And to deserve it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But again, you're right. We're betrayed by our bodies, our minds, by TV, by our politicians, by work every day. It kind of takes a toll on us. So it just, we need a little bit more understanding of people's past. Like,
and I think also the way that we treat people, the person that I'm dating now has been seriously betrayed by an ex or two. And, you know, I take that into consideration when jealousies come up, because jealousy is inevitable. I think for most people, I'm a very jealous person. And I think after people have experienced various kinds of betrayal from people that were really close to them, from a good friend or from an ex, it's harder to trust. Yeah. And so when you're dealing with people like that, I think it's important to have that conversation and important to be, you know, really honest and treat those people with respect, because we all have feelings. Yeah.
And I think you're right too when you said that most people who have been cheated on either don't cheat or they're super worse.
Yeah.
So that's just something to get in mind.
Your expression when you said that.
Because
it's true.
Like I said, I mean, I try not to publicize what had happened.
Right.
But if somebody asks, I will never cower.
And I wasn't, you know, but betrayal, I think, is important.
Yeah.
And also, you made a comment the other day that kind of made me giggle, because you're like, I know you wouldn't think I could.
Yeah.
So but, I was curious how that came about.
And that's the thing too. It's, especially when, you know, during the course of that tumultuous, like 6 months to a year where, you know, we were separated, we're trying to work things out, yada, yada, yada. And her friends that I love dearly, I stopped my life to be able to, you know, be more into hers, because I knew that my schedule is a lot more flexible. So her friends, when they started talking to me, hurt me dearly, because they said, like, you were the last person that would think that you'd do it. It's like, why? Just because I look like this? Is that it? You know, it's because I'm a tiny Asian dude. I can't do stuff. No, everybody can do horrible or good things.
Right.
So that was kind of, you know, that was kind of like...
maybe that's the chip on your shoulder talking.
It is. It has always been.
So was it worth it?
No. I mean, that's why from now, like we've talked about this in perpetuity. I tell all my friends who are in relationships all the time, it's never worth it. Somebody will always find out.
I agree.
It's
really never better, because once you get to that point, it's not about that anymore. It's not going to solve anything. It's just going to complicate it.
And it's so easy to do it the right way. If you're with somebody, break up.
Break up. Or today, people are polyamorous. You never know.
Exactly. Talk about it. And that's the thing too, which probably...
Or draw a hard line.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it in a different episode. But, you know, we talked about opening the marriage, having some unicorns come in.
Yeah.
I thought it was a test. So I was like, oh, You know, I was like, no, I don't want it.
Were you already cheating at that point?
Not yet. So,
see, and maybe that would have changed everything.
Yeah, maybe. But I, at that point, I was immature, and my mind was not as open. But nowadays, if you are having doubts,
but at the same time, you could never be in a polyamorous
relationship. I know. I mean, that's what I learned over the past couple of years. Yeah. You know, getting to know, you know, being hurt by multiple people is like, I know, Papa don't share.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
but
very.
But then that goes both ways, and that's the thing about it. You have to really make your peace with
exactly
either or.
Because
you're going back to our initially thing. How fucking narcissistic and fucking selfish are you if you think that you're allowed to have that behavior and you want to have your cake and eat it too? You're gonna go and fuck whoever the fuck you want, but the person you're with can't or shouldn't or whatever would be fucked up for doing it. That's not okay.
You
need to make your peace. You're either it's worth it enough for you to do it, and then that person's allowed to do whatever, and you can discuss all the boundaries and confines and blah blah blah, or it would hurt your feelings and you don't want to hurt their feelings, and therefore you're not going to treat the other person like shit. Just like, don't be an asshole.
People who think that they can have multiple partners in secret are fooling themselves.
Absolutely.
Somebody, especially nowadays, one wrong Instagram post, one wrong Facebook post.
Oh my God.
You're dude.
And the locations, and you said you were here and there, and pictures, and all the cloud and all that fucking shit. You know, to wrap up today, that person who had another relationship while we were living together and dating years ago, that I was talking about earlier, I went back and saw him years later to pick up some things because I had left New York and I had some things there, and he said I could go and get them whenever I came back. And I did. In maybe 2012, I went back and got a whole bunch of stuff. And we just had a regular conversation. I had tried to keep it friendly, even though obviously it wasn't. And he like sent me flowers and chocolates and all this crap afterwards. And I'm sure he was still dating that other woman. And the card in Spanish. You remember the card in Spanish? That was this guy. But so...
Wait, did it translate to somebody's like, yo, I'm seeing somebody...
No, it
just
didn't.
Don't understand.
No, it was nice things. But it was still a dick move. Like, why would you do that? Anyway,
If he made the other girl write it for you?
Oh, shut up. No, she thought I was just a roommate. Well, we started off as roommates. No. But anyway, when I saw him then, we were talking about honesty because I've always been a very honest person. Sometimes I do falter and omit, which I'm working on. But he was not. He was a huge fucking liar. And so I said, we had this conversation about it, and he's like, you know, it is actually a lot easier to be honest. And I said, right? Isn't your life so much better and easier now to just be honest about whatever it is? And he's like, it really is.
You can work on it. You can, hey, it's not working. Let's break up. Try the other one. If that doesn't work, go back.
Or just don't ever get into an actual relationship, which is, I think, the route that he went. I can't really remember. It was a long time ago. But I was happy to hear that he finally sorted that out for himself. Unfortunately, I wish he hadn't treated me that way in the interim. But you know what? It all worked out because he did me a favor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might not show itself in a year or two, but like in my case, it took me a long time to be, you know, even just get a new cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're figuring it out. And Whiskey's adorable.
Yeah.
All right. So that was our Zode. We did it.
We did it. Again.
Again. All right. So, you know, please follow us on our social media. Share if you like the show. Share it with a friend so we can get to the people. And tell us what you want to hear us talk about.
Yep. Email us anything at paradeofdicks@gmail.com. We're on iTunes. Search us at Parade of Dicks. Leave us some stars. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
And if they want to debate me, I want to welcome people who feel like they want to be on the show because they want to question me on something. I welcome that shit. You know,
we'll answer every question, complaint, or share or topic that you want us to tackle. Because Lucy is fearless. I am quite fearful of Lucy. See you guys on the next one.